TikTok is a lot in the news these days, and not in a good way. It all comes down to China. Lawmakers and regulators in the West have increasingly expressed concern that TikTok and its parent company, ByteDance, may put sensitive user data like location information into the hands of the Chinese government. But for now, at least, that kerfuffle is not the concern of Tia Leto. Her 50,000-plus followers on the site know her by her handle, Western Water Girl. This self-described water rights activist and digital content creator is in fact fighting for sustainable and equitable solutions to the rising water crisis in the Colorado River Basin. At Mountain Film, Tia will be speaking on a panel about water in the West and climate change, one of the programs in the Minds Moving Mountains speaker series scattered throughout the weekend. Tia, thanks for taking the time to be with me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
So, I understand you grew up rafting the streams of southwestern Colorado with your family, but then a couple of events turned those warm and fuzzy adventures into a cause. Please describe what happened that changed you and the direction of your life.
Of course. So, I grew up in a town that has a river running right through the center of it. It's Durango, Colorado, and the river is the Animas River. And I always grew up camping on rivers of the Southwest, and I just became enamored with the idea of being a river guide. So as soon as I turned 18, I became a raft guide. And that very year, there was the Gold King mine spill on the Animas River. And that's when a deluge of 300 million gallons of toxic sludge came down the river. The whole river turned bright orange, and I watched my rafting community really come together and rally around this resource that was really the heart of our whole town's community. And it was really inspiring to me, but it also made me realize that even if there are hundreds of people that value a river ecosystem or a resource like a river, it is still threatened by continuous impacts of human use. And that really inspired me to kind of get involved with water conservation issues in my area.
Terrific. Now, why TikTok and why not more conventional vehicles to communicate your mission? And please define that mission.
Well, first off, I just feel like the discussions surrounding water management in the West have really stagnated. And I am happy to have seen over the last year that a lot of regulators and policymakers are starting to acknowledge the harsh realities of a changing climate in our area and the inherent deficit in our water budget in this region. But I repeatedly tried to get involved through the traditional channels of basically there's basin roundtables in every basin in Colorado to provide feedback to the Colorado Water Plan. And I did apply for that volunteer position. And I was basically told something along the lines of like, oh, sweetie, it's so cute that you're so passionate, but there's got to be a better way for you to be involved. And I just kept getting that response from people when I tried to get involved. So finally, I was like, okay, well, I need to make my own platform. And TikTok appealed to me because it was relatively a low cost to entry. I already had a smartphone. I had already been using TikTok since the beginning of the pandemic. And it didn't take a whole lot of skill to kind of figure out how to utilize all of the features of the app. And I also noticed that TikTok at that time, and I think it's kind of changed a little bit as a result of the kerfuffle mentioned at the top of this, but at that time it was really easy to grow a following on TikTok. I posted my first video and within 2 or 3 weeks, it had over 200,000 views, and that was enough for me to start a pretty strong little community on that corner of the internet. And my mission with my platform on TikTok is to raise awareness for the issues surrounding water resources here in the Southwest, which will hopefully encourage people to take ownership and action to protect those resources. And in addition to that, I hope to use my platform to pressure policymakers into creating more sustainable management techniques for water resources here in the Southwest.
Terrific. And do you feel your 50,000 plus followers really resonate with your message? Are you getting that kind of feedback that they're totally on board with what you're saying?
Absolutely. I hear from a lot of people that it's very inspiring to see somebody who just cares a whole lot about something and start talking up about it and or speaking out about it, and people are recognizing that. And I definitely feel like I've had an impact. I will say that there are, a multitude of opinions and points of view in this this whole conflict, and that makes sense. There's, a ton of different user groups or stakeholders within the basin, and of course, mm-hmm. they all have different priorities. And the reality is, if we are going to stabilize the Colorado River Basin system for the long-term future, then there will need to be sacrifices made. And so I might not be on the same page as all of my followers on exactly where those sacrifices should be made, but I think mm-hmm. everybody recognizes the importance of communicating the urgency of our need to make changes in this region to the general public. And I think pretty much everybody, including the agencies who are responsible for disseminating this information in a more official manner, acknowledge that they are not reaching the public like I am.
Interesting. And you've said at this point, the southwestern Colorado, particularly the Colorado River, is reaching a moment of reckoning on water management, and that finding a good solution will require everyone to know how it works. Would you drill down into the crisis, kind of dimension it?
Yeah, totally. The way that I like to break it down is just basically, when we divided up the Colorado River, we assumed there was a whole lot more water in the river than there actually is. And as a result, we've been operating in a budget deficit, a water budget deficit, for about 100 years. And for a long time, that didn't necessarily make a problem because we weren't actually fulfilling all of those allocations. But now we are at a place where we have fully allocated the river and then some. And on top of that, climate change is causing our region to get warmer and drier. And so as a result of those two factors, we've seen our water banks, which would be the reservoirs throughout the system, like Lake Mead and Lake Powell, continue to drain and get lower and lower. And we are approaching certain water levels that would have catastrophic outcomes for the Western water and electrical grid. So Lake Mead, it could reach Deadpool within the next decade. And that would mean all of the 25 million people downstream from that, which is, includes all of LA, Imperial Valley, and Riverside County, would no longer have access to that water. And that would have cascading impacts across the entire United States. And then even worse than that, we could see Lake Powell reach minimum power generation pool at a much more expedited timescale. Like they already, but prior to this winter season, they had expected that to occur by this July. However, Mother Nature knew that we needed some moisture in our time of need. And so we have received enough precipitation this winter to kind of push that doomsday clock back by at least a year. But if that did happen, it could destabilize a significant portion of the Western electrical grid. So that those are kind of the stakes. And I believe that last year, seeing the reservoir levels get so low was finally kind of the nip in the butt that the policymakers needed to acknowledge this deficit. But it should be known that climate scientists and water resource managers throughout the basin have been aware of this deficit for quite some time. And the need for action has been here for decades. It just finally reached a breaking point this last summer. And I think the clearest indicator that we are finally on a path towards policymakers recognizing that reality is that the former Secretary of the Interior, Bruce Babbitt, actually came out in June of 2022 and said he believes that the Colorado River Compact needs to be rewritten in some ways. And that is kind of an earth-shattering statement to come from such a high-up official. Now, to be fair, he is retired, so he doesn't necessarily have as much skin in the game anymore. But that is pretty groundbreaking to hear a politician say something like that so openly.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for that in-depth answer. So you're just 25. So you're the perfect person to address my next question, which is the notion that young people like you, but clearly not you, don't care. Don't want to be involved in causes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious if you look at the social media landscape that that's just not true. Like Gen Z and millennials do really care about issues. But I think a lot of people in my age bracket face very similar challenges that I did, where individuals who have already been involved in these discussions kind of give a wait your turn kind of attitude. And that's really discouraging to people who really just want to get involved today and not in 10 to 15 years when they have a law degree or an engineering degree or whatever. And the other thing is that I think it's important to acknowledge that no matter where you are, and whether or not you're aware of this, you are a member of a watershed community. And everyone who is a member of the Colorado River Basin watershed community should have a stake in the decisions that are being made in the next couple of years regarding water management, especially young people, because the reality is that's our future. And if they mess this up now, mm-hmm. we're going to be the ones picking up the pieces in a couple of decades.
No kidding. So in addition to being a water activist, apparently you are something of a political activist, and I understand the two dovetail, because on April 1st, you will receive the Murphy Roberts Award at the Colorado Democratic Party's Obama Gala. And that award is given specifically to a person under 25 who has shown dedication to the party and its values. Apparently, you helped Democratic candidates sweep La Plata County in 2022. How and why did you do that?
I have always believed that political advocacy is one of our strongest tools in tackling environmental issues like climate change or water resource issues here in the Southwest. Mm-hmm. I'm also a very strong proponent of the words of the Lorax, which is, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to change. It's just not. And so mm-hmm. I do feel that if you care about an issue, it's important that you get involved. And so that's why I got involved. The ways that I'm involved is I sit on the executive committee of the La Plata County Democrats, and I am the mm-hmm. chair of our Youth Voter Outreach Committee. And in this last election cycle, I personally I found individual donors to put on a punk rock concert where attendees would be allowed to attend for free as long as they could prove their voter registration. And I was able to set up an awesome little QR code that would scan, and it would just give you like a little green check mark or a little yellow arrow if you had an issue, or a red X if you were not registered. And then people mm-hmm. had the opportunity to register while they were there. In addition to that, I do show up to literally every candidate meeting and forum in my area, and I ask them the difficult question of how are you involving young people in your campaign? Because I think a lot of people are unaware that the Gen Z voting bloc is now Gen Z and Millennial is now the largest voting bloc in America, and people are not adequately engaging that voter demographic because we are not necessarily the largest donors, and I don't think that is how the party in our state should be run. So that is why I decided to get involved, and I'm happy that we were able to sweep the ballot for the most part in our area, although I would have been a lot happier if we got those final 500 votes for Adam Frisch, so Lauren Boebert was no longer our representative, because she is the bane of my existence.
Amen. So finally, what are you most looking forward to about visiting Telluride and addressing the Mountain Film audience, and what do you hope your audience will take away from your talk?
I am always really excited to go to any gathering of minds that think alike. And so I'm just excited to kind of cross-pollinate with other great thinkers and people who are making big moves in the things that they care about in this space. I'm also really excited to interact with people in person. Obviously, I do most of my work online, and so any opportunity I have to interact with people face-to-face, IRL, off the net is really exciting to me. And also, one thing that I'm really looking forward to is being able to talk in a little bit more of a longer form than your traditional 1 to 3 minute TikTok video, and to kind of address face to face any kind of comments or questions or concerns people might have with the things that I have voiced in both my speech at Mountain Film, but also just on my platform in general. And what I'm hoping that my audience will take away from my talk is, obviously, I want people to understand the gravity of the situation in the Colorado River Basin, but I don't mm-hmm. think that's a unique facet to my speech as opposed to the other people that are going to be on the panel. Mm-hmm. I know that there's going to be some other folks on the panel who are also very well equipped to address that. So really the other factor that I would really like people to take away is that if you care about something a whole lot, just get involved. And it doesn't have to be in the traditional ways, but find a way that works for you so your voice can be heard. Because you would be absolutely astonished at how much you can accomplish just by speaking up. And that's really what I hope people take away from my story.
Thank you very, very much. This has been Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. speaking with Tia Leto, a.k.a. Western Water Girl. She is on a panel about water in the West and climate change at one of the Minds Moving Mountains Speaker Series programs. They are scattered throughout the weekend. Teal, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to seeing you in Telluride.
You will. Thank you very much.